The first reading is from Zechariah chapter 9, beginning to read at verse 9. The coming of Zion's king. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. Return to your fortress, O prisoners of hope. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. I will bend Judah as I bend my bow and fill it with Ephraim. I will rouse your sons, O Zion, against your sons, O Greece, and make you like a warrior's sword. And the second reading is from Mark chapter 11, the triumphal entry. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. It's been an interesting few weeks, and I think it's now 5 weeks ago the last time I stood in front of you here. And okay, the next Sunday we were on holiday, Wendy and I went on holiday knowing that when I got back a few days later I'd be heading off into hospital for albeit a fairly brief visit, thankfully. I've had various new experiences, shall we say. I will not go into those, but if you know, you know. And to be honest, I'm feeling pretty healthy now, but very much in that interim period of waiting for further results of the outcome of what was done to me almost 3 weeks ago now, and I'm waiting to find out what happens next, really. But thank you so much for all of your cards, your messages, by whatever means those messages came, for all of your prayers. It is very humbling, actually, to be the recipient of so much of that. And I've really felt wrapped around with your love and care and prayer. So thank you for that. Some recollections may vary. So said our late and much-loved Queen Elizabeth II in response to an interview given to Oprah Winfrey by Harry and Meghan. That's as much as I'll say about them, you'll be glad to hear. And yet the Queen's statement remains true for all sorts of things. Some recollections may indeed vary. The Gospel writers vary in their recollections of the first Palm Sunday. For example, Matthew, Mark, and Luke have Jesus giving instructions as to where to find a donkey, but John does not. In John, Jesus simply finds a donkey and sits on it. Matthew's version suggests that there are two donkeys, an adult and a colt, but the other Gospels do not. Only Matthew and John mention Jesus fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah 9 verse 9, but they quote it slightly differently. And only Luke and Mark say that the disciples will find a colt which no one has ever ridden. Some recollections do indeed vary. If you compare the Bible to, say, a novel, it tends to give a lot less detail about people, places, and events. For example, we don't, generally speaking, know what people look like, or the specific detail of the route that Jesus followed on this Palm Sunday, or the details of the people who are in the crowd. So when we have detail, it really matters. And although Mark is the shortest of the Gospels, he tends to give the most detail of specific events. We are meant to notice in Mark that the colt that is brought to Jesus is one which no one has ever ridden. Some recollections may vary, not least in the matter of my one and only ride on a donkey. My wife says it must have been a mule to carry me. Don't know what she's trying to say there. But we were on the Greek island of Santorini many years ago, making a boat trip to a smaller island across the bay. And on disembarking, we had a choice between walking up the steep zigzag path to the village at the top of the hill or taking a donkey. We took donkeys. Now, Wendy's donkey carried her in stately progress, very gently. My donkey, having begun at or near the back of a whole troop of donkeys, if that is the collective noun for a group of donkeys, and I have no idea, my donkey proceeded to act as though it were in the Grand National and dashed past every other donkey until it reached the front, where it stayed following this zigzag path. But when it reached a certain point, still some distance from the top, it just stopped. What do I do now? I thought, am I meant to dig my heels in to make it go again? It just stopped, stubborn as a mule. Well, perhaps Wendy was right. It refused to move onwards and upwards. The other donkeys arrived carrying their passengers, and they all stopped at the same place. Then I realized my donkey had stopped there because it always stopped there. My donkey had been ridden many, many times before, and this was the place for me to dismount. But Jesus gets on a young donkey that has never been ridden. Only the disciples know that the donkey has never before been ridden. As people of their time, they know that you can't just get on a never-before-ridden colt and expect it to go anywhere. It needs training. It needs breaking in. It needs reassuring gently that it's okay to be ridden. It might just possibly take you a few paces, but that would be it. But Jesus gets on the donkey, and it takes him not just a few paces, but a few hundred, a few thousand probably, up the hill from Bethany, down the other side of the Mount of Olives, on towards the city of Jerusalem ahead. Furthermore, Jesus does not journey with this donkey through a quiet field or even a fairly sedate, rugged Greek hillside, but through a massive crowd where people are shouting and singing and waving branches to greet the one coming towards them on this donkey. By rights, this never-before-ridden animal should be stationary, frozen to the spot. It should not be moving. But Jesus, the Prince of Peace, overrides the animal's instinctive response. Such is the trust and calm that Jesus brings. This Creator King exerts his kingdom rule over even this creature that he has made. His perfect love casting out fear, all creation at his loving command. And this beast of burden continues on his way towards Jerusalem, carrying the one who will carry all burdens on the cross a few days later. I wonder if you feel at all like that donkey. Bear with me for a moment. I wonder if you feel at all like that donkey carrying a burden for the first time, unsure of your ability to cope. And maybe you've been carrying that burden for a long time, a burden that you didn't want, didn't ask for, but find yourself with it anyway. Words, of course, can be understood in different ways and carry various nuances of meaning. And the word burden is one such word. It can be used of a burden that you didn't want, never asked for, but it can be used also of a burden that you have chosen to pick up and to carry. Even then, there's an overlap of meaning. We may choose to carry burdens that we didn't want, but we may also end up doing it by default, having no real choice. There is, for example, the burden of ill health, and this is something that seems to be becoming very pertinent to me at this time. It's not something that any of us would choose, and we would rather that it were taken away from us. But nonetheless, it is a burden that we have to carry. There is the burden, of course, also of carrying others in their latter years, a husband or wife, a father or mother, sometimes both, sometimes all of those things. And we would not choose for those people to be as they are, and yet we love them and we do choose to care for them, probably till death do us part. And yet we fear too that the burden may be too much. There is also, I think, the burden of expectation upon us that may feel beyond our ability to cope. Living up to our own expectations is hard enough, but living up to other people's expectations can be impossible. What are we going to do with that burden? There are many other burdens besides that we might be carrying, and forgive me if I haven't mentioned your particular burden, but there's a sample of some. It is now nearly 30 years since I was ordained a minister. I know, hard to believe, isn't it? And I was just a child at the time. But my first church was in Hastings, famous for the battle, of course, which wasn't in fact in Hastings at all, but there you go, it was down the road in battle. And it was a great church in a great place, yet it was full of people with great problems. In my first year there, I faced just about every pastoral situation and problem that we talked about in training, and far more besides. There was a lot of hospital visiting to do, much of it to the local psychiatric ward. There were relationships between husbands and wives and between various church members that needed repairing. There was a confrontation almost a brawl on the front step of the church, about to come to blows, and only because another member stepped between protagonists was that avoided. I would preach my heart out on Sundays, hopefully I still do. But after the second service, because this was part of the expectation then, there were two sermons and I would preach them pretty much every week. Different sermons, of course, too. After the second service, I remember driving home many times feeling absolutely empty. I could name the exact road I used to drive up where that feeling of emptiness, running on empty, cut in. And so I'd drive up that road feeling that I just couldn't cope with all these problems in this church to which God had called me. But then I had a light bulb moment. I can't remember exactly when that happened, and it probably took 2 or 3 years, to be honest. I had a light bulb moment when I realized that I didn't have to cope. At least not on my own. I began to learn the truth of 1 Peter 5, verse 7, which a well-known chorus that we were singing in my church at that time expresses as, "Cast your burdens onto Jesus. He cares for you." And I consciously began saying to Jesus, "Look, I can't cope with these things. Will you carry them for me?" I realized something that you will already know. I am not the Messiah. I cannot save anyone. And in fact, it's not my job. But Jesus can save. It is his job. And that helped me a lot and still does to this day. There were still many people with many problems, many burdens coming my way, but I found that I did not have to carry the load, at least not all of the time. And by the grace of God, the church grew and was in a much healthier place by the time we moved on after 8 years. Whatever burdens you are carrying, Jesus can carry them for you. And when they are burdens that are always with us, he will carry them with us. And knowing that he does helps, I believe, to lighten our load. The load doesn't necessarily go away, or it may take time before it is resolved in the natural order of things. But I know from experience that to pass on, to ask Jesus to share those burdens with me does make a difference. For anyone that doubts their ability to cope, and to be honest, that's all of us, isn't it, one time or another, I want to remind you, I've reminded you of this verse before, but a verse from Isaiah 41, verse 10, where it says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Isaiah 41:10, if you want to look it up and remind yourselves of it later. Then there are the burdens that we have, perhaps to pray for certain things and maybe seek for certain people. Not least the burden that many of us share for others, and our loved ones in particular, to come to know the Lord as we know the Lord. If your church background is anything like mine, you will have been told that it is our duty as Christians to share our faith. And that can be quite daunting. We can clam up inside. We fear that people will reject our message and reject us. We doubt our ability to talk about our faith in a way that perhaps people will understand and respond to. Now, it's my belief that all Christians are called to be witnesses to Jesus, but not all of us are called to be evangelists. The donkey that carried Jesus was mute, beyond the occasional eeyore, but he still carried Jesus so that the crowds could see him. We may not be good at speaking about our faith, but we still can carry Jesus in a way that makes people ask about our faith. We may not be good at sharing good news, but we can still be good news, serving and caring and perhaps helping others to carry a burden of their own. There's one more burden I want to mention, which we all carry. It is the burden of our own mortality. It's been said famously, there are two things certain in life, death and taxes. The donkey does not know it, but it is carrying Jesus towards the certainty of death. In 4 days' time, Jesus will share a final Passover meal with his disciples. One will betray him. Jesus will be arrested and tried and convicted, though an innocent man, and he will be put to death on a cross. This donkey is indeed carrying a king on its back, and that is what crowds are proclaiming. Hosanna to the Son of David. This donkey is carrying not just a king, but the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But his throne will be that wooden cross, and his crown will not be made of gold and jewels, but of thorns. The donkey is taking Jesus to a certain death. As Christians, we know that we should not fear death and what lies beyond, but sometimes we still do, don't we? Has God really forgiven us everything, we might think? Does he really love me, even me? But by the cross, the answer is a resounding yes. Here, Jesus carries our burdens and dies for our sin in perfect love. 1 John 4, verses 10 and 11 puts it, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. So as we journey through this Holy Week, let us be people that carry Jesus with us, but also people that do so knowing that he carries our burdens with us and for us. And let his perfect love cast out all fear in life and in death. On Good Friday, it will still be Friday, but Sundays are coming, isn't it? And we shall rise with Jesus. What a day. What a hope, what a Saviour Jesus is. Let's pray. I'd like to lead us just reflecting upon that verse from 1 Peter chapter 5. Cast your burdens onto him, onto Jesus, for he cares for you. Lord Jesus, we come to you with different things going on in our lives, different situations. Some things are good and don't feel like a burden at all. Some things are more difficult and may well weigh us down. Lord, we pray that you would help us to carry the burdens that we need to carry whilst we need to carry them. So, Lord, we thank you for the privilege of journeying with those who are older in years, not least parents, maybe older siblings, maybe younger siblings, but going through difficult times. Lord, help us to carry that burden well, but also help us not to carry it alone, but to know that you are there for us. Lord, where we have burdens that we are going through, perhaps of our own ill health and uncertainty, give us strength, Lord, knowing that you will uphold us with your righteous right hand as we cast our burden onto you. Lord, free us from the burden of our own expectations and from that of other people. May we know that it is you we seek to please rather than others. And you are a God who is infinitely forgiving and will forgive us our sins if we confess them to you and purify us from all our unrighteousness. For you have borne the burden of our sins upon the cross, and nothing can take that away. So, Lord, whatever our burdens at this time, we do our best to cast them onto you, knowing that you care for us. And you care for those for whom we care. Lord, we put our trust in you and in the cross and in your resurrection, which helps us to know that there will be brighter days ahead and an eternity to share with you. Amen.